Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. You paid a price which no one could ever pay, which we could never pay of ourselves. We are made yours because that was your plan. So today, Father, because of the liberty that you have granted us, because of the freedom that we enjoy in you, we give thanks. Help us to understand what these things mean, O Lord, and to live in you, never to be yoked again to that which enslaved us, but to be free to live for you, to be in you, to be obedient to your will, because therein is freedom. So, Father, we thank you. Work within each every heart, I pray today. Let no rival throne survive before you. Sit upon the throne of our hearts. Sit upon the throne of your church. Be exalted, our Lord. We pray in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise the
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today we will be looking at a new topic. Over the last few weeks, few months, we have looked into the topic of prayer, of spiritual warfare. Last week, we looked at the topic of sacrifice and worship. And today, I just want to start something which, over the next few weeks, we will be taking a look at. Sister Biola, thank you very much for the reading of the book of Ruth. If any of us have never read a whole book of the Bible before, well, we've done it today, even by listening. So we will see the significance of what we have read in the book of Ruth, the significance of that in what Christ has done. Many people read the book of Ruth, and what a lot of us take out of the book of Ruth is what Ruth said to the mother-in-law, which many claim in marriage, that wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. And so in my country, or in our social circles, they call it Ruth, the one that dies with her husband. So, but that is not what we'll be looking at today. We'll be looking at another aspect of the book of Ruth. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to see what the angel that heralded the birth of Christ, what he said about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we will be looking at the topic of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ramifications in many ways. Matthew chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was
Morning, dear.
with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not. Take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save people from their sins. 21 again. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And this very same Jesus that was born miraculously to a virgin girl named Mary is the Jesus that we worship, that we serve today, because of what he has done. Now, it was said to Joseph by the angel that Joseph shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is a Greek name. The Hebrew name, the original name that was given in Hebrew, was Yehoshua or Yeshua. And this name, Yeshua, means Jehovah saves, or Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. The English version is what we call Joshua. You know, in Greek, it is Jesus. In English, it is Joshua. In Hebrew, it is Yehoshua or Yeshua. And this is what we know about the ministry, the heralding of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will save his people from their sins. Today, we would look at how did Jesus save his people from their sins? What mechanism was involved in the salvation of his people from their sins? And when we read his people, we might think that, oh, well, Jesus only came to save the Jews because those were his people. But we know that we Gentiles are also saved. So that heralding of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ could not have been to the Jews alone. Well, it was first to the Jews. And we know later on, then to the Gentiles. And so we know the people of God, the people of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been talked about here, are people who are Jews and Gentiles. So we all together, Jews and Gentiles, make up the people of God. And so we're talking about how did Jesus save his people from their sins? And we'll read a few scriptures here, and we'll begin to look at the mechanism of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he carry it out? And this is very important because the whole of the Bible is about this man called Jesus. Not only that, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, some were learned. Some were not. But from what they saw, it always intrigues me that men will give up everything to follow a person. These people not only gave up everything they had, eventually they paid the ultimate price with their lives. Because of this man, Jesus Christ. And so it behooves us, to take a step back to listen and to think, what is it about what Christ has done that people will give up everything? In the book of Hebrews, we read about people we called that the faith, people of faith, the Faith Hall of Fame. What these people went through, what they gave up. We read about the martyrs. Those who are killed never gave up. They never denied him, even in the face of death. That is what we're going to look at today. Okay, so we start with Colossians 1. And Sister Biola, please, if you don't mind, I'll like your help in reading some of these scriptures. We're going to read a few scriptures today. We're going to have some Bible school today. So everybody, if you have your pen and paper, please begin to write. Colossians 1, 12 to 14, please.
Colossians 1,
12 to
12,
14.
14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Please, if you have a marker, mark that word redemption in your Bibles. In whom we have redemption. And what is that redemption, Sister Biola?
Through the blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins. Okay? Secondly, please open to Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 24.
Romans 3.
Romans 3, 21 to 24. And let us mark that word, redemption. Redemption. What does it mean?
Read.
Yes, please read. Romans 3, 21 to 24.
24.
21 to
But
24.
okay. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
We're justified by his grace, redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to do, highfalutin words. I just want us to break down that redemption so we can understand what Christ did to save his people from their sins. To save his people from their sins. And I'll first of all start with an analogy. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a pawn shop. Well, I pray one prayer that none of us, by necessity, would know the inner workings of a pawn shop. By curiosity, if we want to know it, we can know it, but never by necessity would we know the inner workings of a pawn shop. You see, people who fall on hard times, people who are in debt or have a dire need, there's a system where they can take an expensive, valuable, or something that is of value to them, something that is worth something, an object that is worth something, take it to a pawn shop, give it to the people at the pawn shop, and ask for a loan against what they have brought to the pawn shop. And the people at the pawn shop, many, I've never seen a very scrupulous pawn shop or empathetic pawn shop or benevolent pawn shop. They're always out to get you. You might take something worth $500 and they will say that they'll give you a loan against what you've gone to pawn for $100. They'll give you a loan and they'll give you a time frame, sometimes 30 days, sometimes 60 days, that within that time frame, you have got to come and redeem that object of value that you brought to the pawn shop. If not, what you pawned now becomes their own possession, and there's no nothing you can do. That process of you coming to get back what you gave them in paying your debts is actually called a redemption. You've come to redeem what you have. What you brought as a pawn, what you came to pawn, so that you'll have a loan to help you pay your debts or something to help you with the hard times on which you have fallen upon. And many people, they lose their property because of this pawning process, because many people are not able to. For you to get to that stage where you have to pawn your valuables to meet hard times, may we not ever get there. So a redemption is a deliverance by paying a price. Redemption is a deliverance by paying a price. That is what it means. A price has to be paid for that object to be redeemed back. In a pawn shop, a price has to be paid. Maybe it's the loan that you took plus an interest to redeem back what was pawned. Jesus Christ did the same for us in redemption, which is the way he has done it to redeem us or to deliver us or to save us, his people, from our sins. By the word of God, we know that we have been sold as slaves to sin because of our sin, because of our nature being human, because of the sin of Adam, because through Adam, sin entered into the world. And through Adam, everybody born of Adam, everybody born of woman is now a sinner, sold to sin. But not only did Jesus come to save us from sin, there are some other things attached to sin that he saved us from. And let us look at this by the scriptures. So please, let's start. There are a few scriptures I'm going to quote here. And Sister Biola, we're just going to do rapid fire. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Or I'll ask Sister Kemi also so we can tag him. Second will be 1 Corinthians 7, 23. You'll open that, Sister Biola. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's.
So please note that word. You are bought at a price. Every Christian, we have to note that we are bought at a price. Okay, Sister Kevin.
1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men.
Again, we are bought at a price. Sister Biola, Revelations 5, 9 to 10. Sister Kemi, Titus 2, 13 to 14. Revelations 5, 9 to 10.
Revelations 5:9-10. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth."
The price by which Christ brought us back, that price, what he paid was his blood, his life. He didn't pay money. He didn't pay a valuable object. He paid for our redemption. Remember that we don't belong unto ourselves because we have been sold to sin. We are slaves. We were slaves to sin. And as slaves, our redemption was purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 13 to 14.
Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
Thank you. So we've been redeemed from every lawless deed. We've been redeemed from sin. We've been redeemed from every lawless deed. Okay, Sister Biola, 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19, please. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19. And Sister Kemi, Galatians 3, 10 to 13.
1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
So once again, I want us to, reflect on this. The redemption, our purchase by Christ wasn't with silver. It wasn't with gold. But with something more precious to God than silver and gold. With the blood of his own son.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Thank you. We read from Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God because we have a law that was given by God. And that law, anybody who breaks the law of God, right from the beginning, even before the law, God gave a mandate to Adam and Eve. They broke the law of God. When God penned down his law now, even making it more than that one he gave them, we broke the law of God. So because we were all lawbreakers, everyone who breaks the law of God is subject to death. Romans 6:23 says that for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. And the gifts of God is life in Christ Jesus. Now, what Sister Kemi read to us, we've also been redeemed from the curse of the law. Because there is a curse. Part of the law is that cursed is the person who hangs on a tree. Christ took that curse for each and every one of us. So let's just step back a second and look at all these things again. Christ redeemed us from our sins. Christ paid for our redemption, not with precious objects, but with his own life, with his own blood. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The angel said that his name will be called Jesus or Yehoshua or Joshua. And what that means is Jehovah saves. So what God has done for us in Christ Jesus is we have been saved from our sins through redemption. Christ buying us back. And so redemption means that we are no longer our own. So, when you redeem something, if the person who went to pawn an object could not redeem it, and somebody else of means came to redeem it, that object that was pawned belongs to the person who redeemed it. We have been redeemed from our sins. So we no longer belong to ourselves. And I don't know how to drive this in. We no longer belong to ourselves. We were slaves to sin. Now we are free in Christ. But our freedom in Christ doesn't mean that we are free to do as we please. We are free to be slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a slave to Jesus is not like a slave to a man. And because we have now been freed from sin, freed from the curse of the law, we belong to Jesus. And if you know that you belong to Jesus, you know that you cannot do that which pleases you any longer. You cannot do that. You cannot act as if your life is just yours alone. Your plans in life without the person who owns you. I tell myself, God, I belong to you. You own me. Because of the redemption by the blood of your son, the Father has redeemed us. We are now his. Those who have not been redeemed, the eventuality of life is an eternity away from God. Now, that brings us to the story that Sister Biola read in the book of Ruth. There is a very deep parallel between this book of Ruth and what Jesus Christ did in redemption. Because in the book of Ruth, we see the story of somebody called a kinsman redeemer. This woman named Naomi, with her husband Elimelech, had gone to a far country. They had gone into the land of the Moabites. And you know what chased them away? If anybody remembers a few weeks ago, we were talking about what mostly chases all of us away, what brought Jacob to Egypt. What brought Brother Wale to America? What brought each of us? It was the same thing that chased them away, famine. There was famine in the land of Bethlehem, and they had to flee from Bethlehem to the land of the Moabites. Elimelech had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And there came a time. I don't know whether they were prospering, but what happened was that those two sons, they had wives, Orpah and Ruth. But in the course of time, Elimelech died. That means Naomi lost her husband. The husband of Ruth died. The husband of Orpah died. So Naomi, in short span, had gone from facing famine to going to another person's land to losing a husband, losing a son-in-law, losing another son-in-law. Talk about calamity. Eventually, she had to come back because there was now food. The famine in Bethlehem had ended. She had to come back home. And the people who saw her when she was coming back, they rejoiced with her. Ah, isn't that Naomi? Naomi is back. Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Mara meaning bitter. For the Lord has dealt with me treacherously." That was the course of her life, and she spoke her truth. And her daughter-in-law clung to her. Because there was something about the life of this young girl who was a Moabitess, and most likely they had their own gods. But I believe that Ruth's heart had been sensitized by Jehovah, and she must have seen something or experienced something. Because she said something to Ruth that your God, your own God, will become my God. She left her land to follow her mother. Naturally, what Opa did was is what most women will do. I'm young, I'm still marriageable, let me go and look for a husband. And we have to realize that in that society, women did not have a lot of rights. And for a woman to be a widow wasn't a pleasant thing. Because number one, women didn't have rights to property. Women didn't have rights to inheritance. If you know the history, women could not divorce their husbands. They were more like property to them. The closest thing I see in that society is what we see in the Middle East, where women, you have no rights. Only recently could a woman drive in Saudi Arabia. So that was the lot of women. A woman who did not have a man to take care of her was in dire straits. In Saudi Arabia, a woman cannot go out alone. She must be accompanied by a male relative. That was the lot of a woman back then. And this was what Naomi knew she was facing. That was the future. And it was a bleak future. And I like the one word in, let's open to Ruth. Something that the Bible said in Ruth chapter 2, verse 3. When some of us, when we face hard times, we might think that, God is no longer with me. God has forsaken me. But there was something that we read in chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, and as she went and came and gleaned in the field, this was Ruth having now listened to her mother-in-law going out into the field to glean. As she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened. In another verse, KJV says, her harp was light on her heart. In my own version, it says, she happened. What does yours say there?
He happened. Thank you, Jimmy.
NKJV says, she happened. Please, does Sister Biola, do you have another version? Like NLT?
NLT says she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz.
She found herself.
Happened. She found
Okay.
herself working.
How about AMPC or anybody has amplified?
NIV says, and as it turned out,
Okay. She happened. She found herself. Many of us, when we look at the course of life, we think as children of God that, another word for this might be by circumstance or peradventure, this happened. But in the life of a child of God, in the life of a person in God's plan, this is what God had ordered. We only walk in what God has ordered. So sometimes we might think that, oh, life has been bad for me. This has happened to me. It's been long. Nothing good has happened. The one day of God is what changes everything. There might be many years of, why is my life like this? But that one day of she happened, of it's, some people will call it by luck or peradventure or by circumstance or she just walked into it. No. God orders the steps of the righteous. And this was God's time to move in the lives of Naomi, of Ruth. As many of you know, I used to be a farmer, and I thank God for it because God has taught me many truths in that profession. And one of the things that I remember we used to do on the farm then, at that time, is after we do the corn harvest, the maize harvest, we'll make sure that we don't pick the remainder that's of maize or corn that falls. Because the less privileged people who are poor, Just according to the Bible, there wasn't any cultural thing. It was just something biblical. You know, people who are poor, they'll come after us and they will glean in the field. So I very much understand what the Bible is talking about here. And this was what a law that God had left them in Israel, that for the sake of the poor, when you glean in your field, don't glean the edges, don't harvest the edges. Whatever is left behind, don't pick it up, so that those who are poor in the society, they can come after you to pick up. This was what Ruth was doing. Eventually, a man named Boaz, who was the owner of the field, took notice of Ruth. And this was no peradventure also, because God had ordered things. And the story went on and on that eventually Boaz wanted to be a kinsman redeemer to Ruth, knowing what had happened to Ruth. But there was another closer relative to Ruth, or to Mahlon and Chilion, or to Naomi, than Boaz was. And as was the tradition, they had to give that closer relative the first right, is it right of refusal? Right of refusal. The first right of refusal. And so they came to that closer relative who was unnamed to be the kinsman. Kinsman meaning a kin, somebody who was close to the family, to redeem Ruth. And that man said, first of all, said, ah, yes, when Boaz had laid down the conditions that the field that belonged to Elimelech, which naturally his sons who died will have inherited, that the man will buy that field. The man said, yes, I will buy the field. It was gain for him to buy the field. But then a condition was thrown on top of that not only would you buy the field, but the widow of this man called Ruth, you will also have to take her and redeem her. And the implication of that was that, you know, the implication of that was that if that man had redeemed Ruth, any son born by Ruth to that man will bear the name of the husband that died, Mahlon. Or was it Chilion?
We're not on which one.
We're not told which one. Okay. So that man said, I will bear the child I will give, this woman will give me, will be another, the will bear another man's name. Not only will it be another man's name, my own inheritance, that child will have to share out of the inheritance with my own children. I cannot do it though. Man said, Boaz, you know, you take it, I give it to you. And by the custom, that man had to take a shoe, one of his shoes, and give it to Boaz to show that he had refused. And that was what happened. And Boaz, being a person of means, and because God had ordered it that way, that the heart of Boaz would be favorable to Ruth, Boaz was able to redeem, as a kinsman redeemer, redeem Ruth, that Naomi herself would no longer be a woman destitute. And we know the rest of the story, because the child born of Boaz and Ruth was called Obed. Obed was now the father of David. And through the line of David, who do we know that came through the line of David? This person called
Jesus.
Yeshua, Yehoshua. That same person that has come to save his people from their sins by redemption. Yehoshua. Now, we remember the songs that the women were singing to Naomi after all this fortune had now come upon her at the end. That, let me, where was it now? Sister Biola, please read Chapter 4, verse 4, from 14.
Ruth 4:14. Then the women
Sorry,
said,
from 12. From 12.
12, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman.
Thank you.
Okay.
If many of you might not know what was the story behind Tamar and Perez. Like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore. Perez was the son of Tamar. Tamar was the wife of Judah's son. Judah's son died. And it was like this very similar story. Judah's son died. And Judah was supposed to give another son to Tamar. But we know what happened in that story. Eventually, Tamar had to disguise herself like a prostitute, came to Judah, and from there came a son, Perez, with her own father-in-law. It wasn't a very, very, it was a solid story. It wasn't a clean story. Brothers and sisters, let us not look at what Christ has done for us that, life will always be clean and everything right, and our lives have to be, no problem, and things will be right. Jesus is not ashamed of us in our mess. And I thank God that people like, what was the person we called the prostitutes in Jericho? What's her name again?
Rehab.
Rahab.
Thank you. Rahab was in the line of Jesus. Tamar's son, Perez, was in the line of Jesus. Obed was in the line of Jesus. Because these people, they understood redemption. It wasn't clean. It wasn't the royal family. In the sordid state of affairs of their lives, they were brought to the place of redemption. Christ was not ashamed to identify with them, as Christ is not ashamed to identify with us by redeeming us by his own life and his own blood. This redemption that we read of in the book of Ruth is the same type of redemption that we as Christians enjoy today because of the death of Christ for us. Something that we could not do of ourselves. We were slaves to sin. We could never escape the wrath of God because of our sin. We were under curse from the law. And Christ took it upon himself that we are saved from our sins because of the redemption that this kinsman redeemer, Jesus, has brought to us, that we now belong to him. Like Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Our lives are no longer bitter. Our lives are no longer lives of destitution, but lives of fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we won't face hard times, but we have somebody to face it with us. We have somebody who we can call upon. We have somebody who has redeemed us. And we have somebody who has now called us his own, who owns everything, way richer than Boaz was, of more means than anybody on this earth was. We've been redeemed by his blood, not by silver, not with gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This redemption, brothers and sisters, let us treasure it. Let us treasure it. The Bible talks about, what's the twin that did not honor his Esau. The Bible talked about Esau. He had something precious, but he did not honor or give any, he did not count it as something precious. He did not count his inheritance as the firstborn. He did not count his position as the first child that came as something to be treasured. And many do not count, or they lose sight of the redemption by which they have been saved, and the blood of Christ becomes something common. And brothers and sisters, that is why, you know, when we start seeing the blood of Christ on rubbish, we are not honoring it. The blood by which we have been saved and redeemed is precious in the sight of the Father. And we have to know and honor this redemption by which we have been redeemed because it's precious. It's worth more than silver and gold. And because it's precious to the Father, it costs the Son something. It has to be precious to us. Remember, redemption, you can never redeem something without a payment. You can never redeem something without a payment. And Christ paid for us with his own blood. Let us always give thanks for the person to whom we now belong, because he is worthy of our very lives itself. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Father, once again, we give thanks unto you for the precious blood of your Son. You gave us an example in Abraham in giving up his own son, but you provided a ram in substitution. You bore the pain of seeing your son tortured. Sins. Lord, may we hold that which is dear to you as precious in our hearts. And that for which we have been born again, precious in our sights. Thank you, Father, for this was your plan, not ours. For we were dead in our sins, but we have now been made alive in Christ Jesus as yours. Help us to live lives that show that we know who we are in you, lives of freedom and liberty, to live not to please ourselves any longer, but to live to please you all the days of our lives. Thank you once again, Father, for your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus paid his all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow.